start with a, I'm not sure if it's a mukhruk shmuz, so that's why we'll do it for a musarvad. But it's definitely a potential shmuz, but it's a great introduction for the topic. We have, at the end of the parashas, I don't know if people know their parashas, chumash, you have an emor, right? You have the story of the Mikalo, right? Basically what happened, there was this person, it was a ger. He went ahead, and Rashi says he went to Moshe's Bezdin. There was a din Torah on which tribe he should be his tent with. He felt he should go by his mother. It was Paskin that he shouldn't, because he goes by his father, and he was a ger. I once heard a shmooze from Rav Zeido Epstein, who said, "What was it? What's the difference which tribe you go to?" But every shevet has a different chedek in ruchnius, so he wanted the higher level of ruchnius, the shevet done. So he was given, anyway, so he lost the court case. So it says he cursed. So they basically, what they do to the guy? They locked him. Then what they do? They stoned him, right? They killed him. So what's the shmooze? Come on. Right, it's time in general. Who are we talking about? Right. You know, even though this is not the highest man in Klal Yisrael, but we assume that anyone at heart sees it, you know, everyone in Klal Yisrael, they just mekabel the Torah. You know, he saw so many miracles, and especially according to Rav Zeido Epstein, the whole reason why he went to a din Torah because he wanted more ruchnius. But just in general here, you know, the guy, someone in the midbar, he saw so many miracles. What's he? I'm a sugar now. What's he cursing for? Right. That's a. And I'm not sure if that's mukhluk shmuz, but that's a. You may want to ask the kasha better. According to many people, hold that you can't kill a person unless he has hasra. The achrayim will talk about it because Rashi seems to say that they didn't know what misa he was getting, what they were chay misa. So they all ask the kasha, but you can't kill him with hasra. So there's a lot of answers. But definitely some answers is that he knew he was going to be Chai Misa. Because you need Hasra. If you're going to kill someone, you need Hasra. So, yeah, what's the Mishugana? You tell the guy, if you're going to curse, you know, you tell him a minute before, he's about to curse, they saw he's about to curse, they say, you know, you better not curse. If you curse Hashem, we're going to kill you, you're going to get killed. I don't care. And you're like, I'm not. You know? So first of all, you're doing... Why would a person in Dor HaMidbar, who obviously believes in Hashem, he saw so many miracles, he sees daily miracles, he saw Har Sinai and Kriyas Yamsuf, why would he curse Hashem? Why would he do an Aveira, the Yechaya Misa? Why would he, especially if he has Hasra, right? Okay, so what's the answer? No? What? What? Why are you not thinking? Because he's angry. Right? So that's the topic, the most of that. Because he lost his temper. When people lose their temper, they are become mentally insane. Right? That happens to be true. People who are, they go off, you know, start smashing things. Right? Guy gets angry, he starts taking everything and smashes them. Why are you smashing it? He smashes all the, breaks all the dishes. Right? Is it gonna serve any purpose breaking all your dishes? He's angry, right? I'm angry. I'm in a bad mood. Now, people do all kinds of crazy things when they get angry. People, when they become angry, become irrational, right? What was I don't know if it's exactly. It's not the same, but we had Achashverosh got angry at Vashti, so he killed her. And it says in the next day he wakes up, where's my queen? Right? Now I don't know if he cared about Vashti, but he wanted Vashti for himself. You know, he was very, it says in the puzzle, he was very upset that, you know, now he doesn't have a queen. You know, Yashikayach. what were you thinking? You know, it's not good. You need a queen. The people gave him the suggestion. It wasn't his suggestion. The guy find a new queen. Okay, not so easy to find a new queen. Right? people who get angry, it usually destroy their lives, right? It's a very big yisoid in Metzias. I don't know if you people know people who get angry, but if you know people, there are three types of people. There are people that have really, really big tempers, and they're always getting angry. There are people that once in a blue moon they get angry, and people that almost never get angry. But especially the first group, and even the second group, they very, very often destroy their lives. I don't know if you people know. Person gets angry. I know someone, it was years ago, who had a very, very chashuv degree from a very, very chashuv university. He was very brilliant, and he couldn't. And he was like had around five jobs, and then he couldn't even get a job anymore. Now, for the last 30 years, he's been having a job. But for like first year, he went from job to job. Why? Because he had a temper. So he would get a job, and then about a month into the job, he would basically tell the boss off. Because every boss is not always, you know, bosses are never perfect. So he would tell the boss off. So what do you think happens when an employee tells the boss off? He gets fired. Bosses don't like getting told off. So he basically came, it's not a joke, he went from job to job, because every so often he would lose his temper and insult his boss. So that boy got fired, until he learned he has to keep his mouth shut. Now he has a steady job for like 30 years. But, you know, he couldn't keep a job. First five jobs or so he couldn't keep. Especially if you want to go into chinuch, having a temper is a major, 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 major problem, right? If you have a temper and you want to go into chinuch, there's two choices. Either what? What's the two choices? Either don't go into chinuch or make sure you don't have a temper anymore. But you can't go into chinuch with a temper. Why not? Because kids have a way of getting you angry, right? Much more than adults. First of all, because they can get under your skin more. They can be very chutzpahdik. You got a whole class of 30 brats, you know? They can really... And second of all, it's easier to get angry at kids. You know, it's just... Because when you get an adult, you're afraid to get angry at him. You know, you scream at him, he'll punch you in the nose. But a kid, you know, he can't do anything to me. So it's just psychologically, people are much, just like people get angry with their kid, their own kids, more than they would get angry at other people, because, you know, just it's easier to get angry at kids. You don't have that psychological, you know, that automatic thing. You're not going to get angry if there's some 6 foot, whatever, we won't be, we'll discuss race, but whatever it is, 6 foot guy who's some criminal. And even if he scratches your car, you're not going to start going out and start cursing him out. You idiot! You know, because you walk out, and the guy comes out of his car, and he's 6 feet something, and he has bulging muscles. You're going to talk a little calmly, because you know you start ranking him out. He's going to punch you in the nose, you know. But you have kids. It's very, very easy to scream at the kids. Whether they're your own kids, also people scream at their own kids more than they should, or at students. And why is it very bad to scream at teach if you're a teacher? Because, yeah, what? Yeah, I mean, like the kids will hate the Rebbe. The kids can get scarred, and what also, practically speaking, is you can lose your job. Numerous rebbeim, I've known rebbeim over the years. I have many, many friends who are rebbeim. I know many rebbeim. I don't say many, many, but I know a number who lost their job because they were screaming. It has happened. I know many people. Why, what's wrong?
Can't scream at a student.
No, depends how you scream. There's screaming and screaming. There's screaming when you're in control. And they're screaming when you're not in control. There's certain screaming that is considered, you can scream. You can criticize, and you can, that was wrong, and you can, But when you scream to a certain control, it's just like you can't hit, right? Can you hit a student?
Not
anymore. So you can't scream at students either anymore. You can criticize them, you can tell them they were wrong, but a certain amount of screaming is called verbal abuse, right? That's what it's called in the world. And in today's world, you cannot do that. You will be fired. Most principals will not stand for a teacher who does verbal abuse of their students. And the parents won't stand for it, and the parents will call up. My son says the teacher screamed at him. And I'm telling you, Maisim, I know, I don't say many, many, but I know a number of teachers who lost their job. You know, I mean, I know, you know, I've lost a lot of teachers in my day, not a guy in the yeshiva. The guys who were used to be in chinuch, or they started in chinuch, and they left chinuch because they had tempers, and they started to scream at the kids, and they were basically let go, or they weren't rehired, or whatever, because you can't scream in school. Now, there are some screamers, really, and when I was in high school, I don't want to say anyway, so I can back up. We had a French teacher, and he was a guy. And he was boasting in class about his World War II exploits that he fought in the war. So there was a guy, he was at the desk, and there was a kid sitting right in front of him, you know, on the other side of the desk, who happened to be the strongest kid in the class. So he was starting up with him. So he said, "Which war?" You know, which meant, yeah, you were in World War I. But the teacher thought, he said, "Which side?" And he thought he called him a Nazi. He got so angry, he jumped on the table and his desk, jumped off the desk on the kid, landed on the kid, and started punching him away. The whole class was just shocked. He made a hole in the ceiling because he hit the ceiling on the way down. The guys went and called the principal. The principal came running in because, he sees his teacher on top of the guy punching him. It was about it. Anyway, the kid was laughing because the kid was having the strongest guy in the class. Like he wasn't spoiled. Anyway, the teacher quit, you know. Okay. But a mice, so that's not acceptable. Yeah, I know. But even screaming is not, you will lose your job if you scream. And rightfully so, because kids are very, very sensitive. There are certain kids who never get screamed at home because their parents are not screamers, and that's good. And they are very, very sensitive. You know, some kids that they're used to being screamed at home because their parents scream, so they're deadened. Doesn't bother them. But there always will be some kids in the class that were never screamed at, and they will be in totally shock. They'll be in tears. They'll be in petrified. They'll come home to their parents and say, "I'm sitting in school, and I'm so scared. The teacher screams. I'm so scared. I even had to make it my pants. I was so scared." I'm telling you, this would come to
you. You get screamed at all the time by your boss or anything.
Okay, but it's different. And kids will, and the parents will call the principal and say, "We've that this teacher is screaming. My kid is petrified. Doesn't want to go to school." And the teacher's gonna lose his job. And ma'isim b'chol yom. I say b'chol yom. I don't want to say it happens all the time. Baruch Hashem, here we have very good teachers. No, our teachers don't scream. But you know, when I was in Israel, and I know for guys in yeshiva too, there were cases. You know, it is not at all unheard of. More than one. teachers lost their job because they were screaming. So it's you're basically, people who scream, people can ruin their marriages when you get upset and you say things to your wife, you know, and then once you say it, you can't take it back. You know, you never, you know, you always, you know, okay, we're going to take it back, especially because sometimes you really mean it. You just never planned on saying it. But now you put your cards on the table. Now, you know, you can't take it back anymore. See, I didn't mean that. You do mean that. To some extent you do. But, you know, you wouldn't say it to your wife because you don't want to insult her. You know, it's a little bit set out of context and it was exaggerated 15 times over. But, you know, so you get, you know, you get, or screaming at your kids. Right? This is a real extreme, maybe a little not as common, but we've had cases where parents beat their kids, right? Not so. I had a guy in the yeshiva whose father was a chavra of mine in yeshiva, and his son said that his father beat him all the time until he got old enough to beat him back, you know? Mm-hmm. So that people have tempers. So the shaila is, that you can ruin your life if you have a temper. So I was saying, if people with a major temper, for sure, they're finished. But even people with minor tempers, but you get under, like I'm saying, in teaching can be a very explosive situation where there's, you know, 30 kids getting on your nerves. Anyway, so the shaila is, how does a person avoid losing his temper? That's what we want to talk about. So what's the answer? I don't know. So there's a few answers I think you can give. You know, worst answer is, of course, if you realize this, right? Just like we said, that if you get into a car accident and the guy's 6 feet tall and you know that if you scream at him, he's going to punch you and beat you up, you're not going to scream. So as angry as you are, the knowledge that you're going to get beaten up is going to keep you in control. So if you realize that many people got upset and they lose control and they mess up their lives, then you're not going to scream. Of course, same thing if you have Yiras Shamayim. It's an Aveira to scream, to get upset, angry. Right? Koakoes, it says what? Yeah, and Kihido Oyvin Avarazarit. It's not a good, it's a shtickle, nice Aveira. The Kimugubalim say when you get angry, your neshama leads you. That's how they translate it. That can call, that the neshama doesn't stay in a person when he gets angry. But we that as it may. But even we don't have so much Yiras Shamayim. But just, you know, from all these, you know, you can ruin your marriage, you get upset, you can ruin your relationship with your kids, you can ruin your relationship with your best friend, you know, you can ruin your life by blowing up. So that knowledge can stop you from getting angry.
Has it been calmed down?
You don't necessarily, we're not necessarily calming down, but you're, but we're talking about, I'm not discussing that necessarily. That's a good question too. I have to be talking this, but I'm talking about not screaming, not expressing anger.
Holding the
ability to hold your anger inside. Now, there's a much better madriga not to get angry in the first place. You're right. When we discuss that too, maybe. But even if, obviously, if you have bitachin, you know, but that's very hard. But even if you have anger, the shaila is not to show it, not to let it come out. That's already, to say that we will never get angry or upset, I don't know, that's already very high. I'm not ready to give that musarvat. That's a little bit highfalutin. But to say that we have the ability to control our anger, that we don't express it, right? There are people that definitely don't express their anger. A normal person, when their boss gets them angry, except for this person that I mentioned that got fired, there's a lot of people that the bosses get them angry. And what do they usually say? Yes, sir, I'll do it. Yes, yes. Brilliant. Thank you. That was brilliant. Yes. Thank you very much for that criticism. I really appreciated it. Right? You know, inside you're fuming. This idiotic boss doesn't know what he's talking about. I worked for 30 hours and he doesn't know it. But most people know that they cannot react, and they're able to keep their anger in. So the problem is that some people can't keep their anger in, or they don't keep their anger in situations where psychologically they feel they can get away with it, like with little kids, or their wife, or their kids, or their friend, you know, because these are vulnerable people that they think they can step on. So that's where you get trouble. So the first realization is that there also you're going to get messed up. It's going to come back to haunt you. You're gonna lose your marriage. You want to lose your marriage? You're going to lose your kids. Your kids will hate you. Guy who beats up his kids, even if he beats them up with... I've had guys that told me that their parents have verbal abuse. My parents verbally abused me. You think, you know, so it's also not a good relationship. Now, whether the parents really verbally abuse, I don't know, but the kids say that. So you, they, what kind of relationship do you have with your kids? If the kids think, you know, he says, Rabbi Yisrael says here a gavaldic thing, which is maybe even a little starker. Because what I'm saying is not all the time. You know, there's if you're a teacher, you can hurt the kids. If you're, you can get fired. If you're a marriage, you can ruin your marriage. Rabbi Yisrael says even, you know, stronger. I'm saying it's going to hurt you. Rabbi Yisrael says here, there's a piece here, the very beautiful piece on this topic, which I'm not reading the whole thing. But there's a, in the back of this edition of the Or Yisrael, it's the only this edition, Or Yisrael HaShalem, they have pieces from Rav Naftali Amsterdam. And Rav Naftali Amsterdam gives a few examples how Rav Yisrael gave eitzes how to work on midas. So he gives a few at tachbunas that Rav Yisrael gave how to work on the midas of kas. So he says as follows. He says, you make up your mind. Here, let me find the place. Pam acha sha'alti menu trufa le midas akas. A cure for the midas of kas. The Heshiv, Rabbi Yisrael answered, Hatrufa sheyosa delibo tamniyaz ishtov. The Heshiv and Mabrius. That you want to be a person who always helps people. I have a drive. What do I want to be? I want to be a person. I want to be the Baal Chesed. That's what I love to be. I love to help people. I love to make people happy. That's what I do. I compliment people. I say good morning to people. When someone does something, I say, oh, you did a great job. It's a part of my personality. I always try to make people happy. If you're kind of that midah, so then you can't get angry. Because when you're going to get angry, even if, forget about that you're going to lose your job, but you're definitely not going to make him happy, right? The person that you're screaming at, or even just glaring at, I don't know if I can do it, but, you know, when you get really angry and you get this really angry look, you never get this really angry look, you know. So that guy is going to be, he's going to be hurt. So if you, as I was saying, that you shouldn't want to be, you should have a psychological blockage. I can't get angry because look what I might lose. I might ruin my marriage. I might lose my kids. I might get fired from my job. I might be a, he's saying, even if no one's going to hurt me, I'm the king. No one can, you know, but I want to be a, what's the word? What's a good rule? What's the word? Benevolent ruler. I don't want to hurt my subjects. And if I'm going to get angry, then the people are going to suffer, right? I'm going to be doing verbal abuse. So I want to be an abuser. You want to be an abuser of people. So that's Rabbi Yisrael says. Hagasha. Rabbi Yisrael said, you should not get angry. Because you realize that when you get angry, you're hurting other people. You're a bor b'rishus harabim. Do you want to be a bor b'rishus harabim? You want to hurt people? Are you a monster? Are you a Nazi? You go around hurting people? That's what you want to be? You know, you got to get a little exaggerated a little bit. That's what you are. You're a guy with anger. You're just with a machine gun. You're shooting people all over the place. What's wrong with you? He has there a different answer. Complete that's He has an amazing eitzah, which I just like it so much, even though I don't know if it's, I'm not sure if it's practical for us or not. It depends, but it's a beautiful eitzah. He has a few eitzahs. He says that there's a chazal. Birtzos Hashem darkei ish gam oivav yashlem imo. I think that's a pasuk. I don't know where. Anyone know where that is? Birtzos Hashem darkei ish gam oivav yashlem imo. It's a pasuk somewhere. I'm probably misquoting it, but it's a pasuk. So Chazal say different. Who's gam oivav? Some people say it means your wife. Some different. But what it means basically is that if you're in one of the pshatim, is if you're a tzaddik, even your enemies, people, everybody loves a tzaddik. It's very hard. Either it's mystical, Hashem makes it as a miracle, or it's even logical. You know, you see someone as a Bawas Chesed. The whole world fell in love with, who is this, you know? You see Rav Ari Levine. You hear Sir Rav Ari Levine. You can't help but just loving Rav Ari Levine. Because he has such a beautiful stories about him. I never met him, but oh, he sounds like such an amazing person. Right? When someone is a really, really wonderful person, everyone loves him. It's logical, because there's a natural, inborn tinitia to love beauty. And it's also mystical. Hashem, that's a bracha Hashem gives. Some people say, so he says like this, someone got you angry. Why did that person get you angry? Probably because he didn't treat you nicely. She says, ho gufa, why didn't he treat you nicely? Why doesn't the guy treat you nicely? Because he doesn't respect you. Why doesn't he respect me? Because you probably don't deserve to be respected. Uh-huh. He says, if you were a big enough tzaddik, he would respect you. You think Rav Ari Levine would have treated like that? You think if Rav Moshe Feinstein was in the room, he would have treated like that? Right? You think, it's because the reason why they treat you that way is because that's how you're not on such a high madrega. So why are you blaming that guy for mistreating me? He says, blame yourself. It's a little bit, it's not his fault, it's your fault. Right? You know, if you would be on a higher madrega, he would have never had the chutzpah to do that. So instead of getting angry at him, if I was a better father, my son would have never treated me that way. If I was a better Rebbe, and the kids in my share knew that I really cared about them and I loved them, they would never hurt me like this, because they don't like me. They don't. They don't. So if they're right, the Rebbe that the kids love, they wouldn't do those things to him. So the whatever it is. So generally speaking, it's a begam. It's indicative of a begam in you. That's what Rabbi Yisrael says. Usually, when someone does something wrong to you, obviously, I'm not a psychratia. You know, the Nazis killed Gedolim. I don't think there's anything, you know. But that's a Risham, Shein Gamayu was a special situation. But generally speaking, when a normal person, is not a Nazi, not a Russia, does something bad to you, usually that person would not do something bad if you were a tzaddik. So it's an indication that there's a begam in you. There's an indication of the gam in you. So instead of focusing your anger at him, focus your anger at yourself. Right? I had once, it's not exactly the same, but because it happened to me, so I have to tell this story. I was walking in Israel with Rav Shia. We used to learn, and after we finished learning on Shabbos, we would walk to Mincha. So we're walking to Shul, and he saw a guy going into his car on Shabbos. So he told him very nicely that, you know, Shabbos is going to be over in 2 hours. Maybe, you know, why don't you wait? What do you have to be mechal Shabbos for? I didn't think there was a chance in a million years. You know, a guy, you know, oh yeah, 2 hours. Okay, I'll go back home and wait 2 hours on, you know. A guy's mechal Shabbos. He wants to go somewhere. You know? But even if the other guy, you know, trial's over in 2 hours, why don't you wait? What do you think the guy did? Come on, what do you think he did? He got in his car and drove away. What else do you think the guy's gonna do? So Rav Shia was very depressed. I said, depressed? What'd you expect? He told me, he says, the guy's driving a car. He says, I don't think there's a point in screaming Shabbos. No, but he didn't get into the car yet. You know, I could talk to him. He was very depressed. I asked him, I asked him, what are you upset? Like, you had a Hava, I mean, the guy would listen to you. Like, why in the way? He's a Mechado Shabbos. He's not religious. Why should he wait 2 hours? The guy's a Mechado Shabbos. Why should he wait? So he told me Rav Shia was a grandson by marriage to Rav Arya Levine. So he said, because Rav Arya Levine would do this and they never would go in the car. At least not whenever I, because Rav Arya Levine said it with feeling that the person they heard, that he was saying it because he cared about the guy, not just for himself. No, I can't. I feel so bad. It's terrible. See, you should be Mechal Shabbos. Feel so bad for you. So if Rav Arya Levine felt so bad for the guy that he's being Mechal Shabbos, the guy couldn't bring himself to Mechal Shabbos in front of Rav Arya Levine. So he says, the fact that that the guy was able to be Mechal Shabbos in front of me means that that he didn't feel that I cared about him. If he would have felt that I cared about him, he wouldn't have gotten in the car. Maybe when I walked away, he would get in the car, but not in front of me. Right? So he says, I'm not upset that he got in the car. I'm upset with myself. He said, I'm upset with myself that obviously I'm missing in my Havas Yisrael. Because when my grandfather, Rav Arya Levine, did this, no one went in the car. And when I do the same thing, it doesn't work. Anyway, that's a gavaltic thing. It means that we don't like the story.
No, just, I mean, isn't there sometimes you get angry when it's not even personal? Meaning somebody did something that you know it wasn't personal, but you're angry that he did it. Meaning it's not that he was disrespecting you, but you're angry that...
Okay, it could be. But most times, we're not such tzaddikim, believe it or not. I think that we get angry for the other guy. We're not such tzaddikim. We usually get angry because someone did something against us. That's to be honest. You know, I'm not, you know, if someone hit you, as much as I like you, I'm not going to get angry. You know, but if it's hit me, now, if they hit my student, it's my student. But if they hit a guy from Rabbi's wife, Yeshiva, okay, you know. We're not such tzaddikim. I'm not saying we shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. So usually, okay, you're right, sometimes it does work, but usually that we get angry because we feel that the guy was pogeying our kavod. The guy's chutzpahdik to me. He insulted me. He did something, he broke my favorite thing. He ruined I had a jar of peanut butter and he smashed it. I don't know, whatever it is. You usually don't get angry because he smashed someone else's peanut butter. But if he smashed your peanut butter, you get angry. People usually get angry because someone did something to them. So at least in those cases, Rabbi Yisrael is saying a gaval de gavart, that don't get angry, because instead of focusing your anger on the other guy, focus the anger on yourself. Right? You go to work, and your boss comes and gives you mussar, like I said in the beginning. Now, you're fuming. Now, what you really should do is what? Is you should hear that Mistama, the boss, is giving you mussar. There's probably some nugget of truth in that. So instead of being, you know, that's an even easier extension of Rav Yisrael. Instead of being fuming at this idiotic boss for giving me mussar, you should say, you know, the boss is screaming at me because obviously I really didn't do such a great job. You know, own up to the problem. Instead of saying, the guy, I'm so angry, the guy criticized me. Yeah, they criticize you because you're a schlump, you know. So don't get angry at him, get angry at yourself. It's a very good eitzah, you know, depends where. Rabbi Yisrael expanded it, because if you were a tzaddik, but in many cases, you don't need to be such a tzaddik like Rabbi Yisrael. It's just people criticize you. People get angry because they get criticized. Maybe the criticism is, if not 100% valid, maybe it's 50% valid. Let's say I give you an example. Or the same thing. I ask someone to do me a favor. The guy doesn't do me a favor. Why don't they do me a favor? Probably because, so I get so upset. But there's probably a reason why he's not doing me a favor. He's probably not doing me a favor because I didn't do him a favor last time. You know, like there's a reason. So Rabbi Yisrael's part is, many times it's your own fault if you see the full picture. Okay, anyway, so getting back to the end. We're saying, where the board is saying is, a temper is really, a person who has a bad temper, forget it. You can basically, that's terrible. You won't get anywhere. You're very hard to be. There was a guy in Israel. He was a married guy. He actually learned in the yeshiva, but not too long. Wasn't really a Chavetz Chaim guy. He can't marry Israel. And the neighbors used to hear the screaming from his apartment. And they said once his wife locked him out and he was smashing the door down. I'm telling you, the people were coming, talking. Yeah, it was terrible. I don't know. I don't think they last too long, their marriage. You know, but it was so a guy who has a temper, forget it. You better start working on it because you'll. But even if you have a little temper, it's very, very, because in life, things happen that even, and also you got to know another secret. When you get older, tempers get bigger. So if you got a little temper now, then you're in trouble when you get to be, you know, my age, 40. You know, 25, my wife says 29. Okay, when you get to be 29, you know, when you get older people, the same guy who has a little temper when he's young gets a much, much, much bigger temper when they're older. Why? Because that's how it is. I can't explain it to you. People change when they get older. Certain things, but that's the Messias in life. Older people have less patience and they get, you know, I don't know why. I really don't know why. Why do little kids like lollipops and they like candy, and when you get older, and they don't like steak, and when you get older, you like steak? Why? I don't know why. They say that people when they're young, and you're at this age, are not so much into COVID. I don't say not at all, but not as much. When they get older, COVID becomes much more stronger. Why is COVID, when a guy who's 40, the Yetzirah for COVID is much greater than when you're 18. When you're 18, the Yetzirah for Taiva is much stronger than when you're 40. Why is that? I don't know. I can't tell you. I assume there must be a reason, but I don't know. So the Yetzirah of losing your temper gets much, much bigger when you're, isn't there an expression, an angry old man? Is there such an expression? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, so if you don't work on it, if you have a temper problem when you're now, even a little bit, so first of all, if you want to go into chinuch, I'm telling you, you're not going to make it. Second of all, even if you don't want to go into chinuch, it can ruin your marriage. And especially you have to be worried you're going to get older, it's going to really blow up. So you got to work on it. So some of the ways of working on it, there's another, I forgot, I want to mention another way. I heard a story from Rav Avrahami, an amazing story, that the Chavetz Chaim and another Gadol kind of do a very big disagreement in the Shem Shemayim on some issue that is affecting all Klai Yisrael. I don't want to go into the details. First of all, I want to mention who it was. But one of the Gedolei Ador, they had a different opinion, and it was life and death. And they got very excited because of life and death. And the Chavetz Chaim, basically, there was like an Asifas Rabbanim, and they had a and the Chavetz Chaim's opinion was swaying because Chavetz Chaim had, you know, people listen to the Chavetz Chaim, even though this other person is one of the most famous Gedolei Ador, but the Chavetz Chaim had more, so to speak, prestige. So this other Gadol was very upset. He was trying to convince the Chavetz Chaim that he was wrong. The Chafetz Chaim wouldn't budge. And he got very angry. So what did he do? So Rav Rami said, he walked out of the room. He said the Chafetz Chaim was amazed. He got very angry in the middle of this conversation, just stopped talking, and he just walked out. It's also good, you know, because he was afraid. He realized he's getting worked up. He's arguing with the Chafetz Chaim about this issue, and it's life and death, and, you know, you're going to do it wrong, and it's going to destroy the yeshivas, and whatever, and everything. And the Chafetz Chaim disagrees, and I'm arguing, and I realize I'm going to blow up, and I'm going to call the Chafetz Chaim a name. So what do? Okay. Just when I'm in the middle of the conversation, he's walked out. Said the Chafetz Chaim was very impressed with him. Said the Chafetz Chaim was impressed with him. It was a gadol because he was getting close to getting angry. He didn't get angry yet. He was getting there. He was about to explode. He says, okay, so you just walk and get out of that area. It's also a good age for just get away from the thing that's getting you angry. You know, that's a very good takuda too. You know, just run away. Okay, I assume B'tochen is also a good etzah, but B'tochen is always a good etzah for everything. Okay. Okay, Yashika.